my trust in my church membership. Then my soul had a stir, and I earnestly prayed till I knew without a doubt I was saved.
Without a doubt I'm saved. I've been born again, lost in Calvary's love, pure and white within. Though I once was lost, Christ in chains enslaved, but now I know without a doubt I'm saved.
There's a settled peace in my happy soul. Now my life has a name. Heaven is my goal. Now this world's gathering storms cannot make me afraid. I can shout without a doubt, I'm saved.
Without a doubt, I'm saved. I've been born again, lost in Calvary's blood, pure and white within. Oh, I once was lost, Christ in chains enslaved, but now I know without a doubt I'm saved. Without a doubt I'm saved. I've been born again, lost in Calvary's blood, pure and white within. Though I once was lost, Christ in chains enslaved, but now I know without a doubt I'm saved. Yes, I know without a doubt I'm saved.
Let the world proclaim what a lovely name. Thank the Lord for that name.
With me to the Old Testament, Judges chapter number 17 is where we're going to look for just a little bit. I was reminded when I seen Brother James just a second ago. I said, man, I didn't even mention Brother Jim. And I said, we all remember Jim Hutchins in prayer too. He's on my list, and for I pray for him every day. And I just as soon as I seen James, I said, man, I didn't mention your dad. He's on the list somewhere, but I sure overlooked it. But just continue to pray for him. And I may overlook some others, but there's just a lot of needs within our church family, and I'm glad God's able to meet those needs, and it's certainly our duty. One of our privileges, I say it's our duty, but it's our privilege to pray for somebody. You know, it's a real blessing, too, when somebody asks you to pray. That's a privilege that you and I have, and let's not take that for granted. We've got a lot of folks that are sick, and a lot of younger folks dealing with cancer now, a lot of different things, and death, seems like death's been on the increase, seems like here the last little bit, folks that we know. And here in our community, so let's certainly pray for those families that are bereaved. But tonight, Judges chapter number 17 is where we're going to look. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and there's only about 13 verses there, so don't get too alarmed. And I want to just bring just a thought for you on this Sunday evening. I hope it'll be a help and a blessing and encouragement to you and somewhere along the line. Listen, if you get any help, it'll be God that does it. But I do feel like this is a message I came armed with this morning. And I thought, well, maybe the Lord will let me preach something else tonight, but no, this is where we are tonight. And in Judges chapter number 17, I want to ask you to stand and notice in verse number 1, the Bible said, and there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. He said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. Now notice that last phrase of verse number 4, house. You'll find that four times in our passage in these 13 verses. This is the first time we see it. And it's important to understand this house of Micah. Four times it's mentioned. And just make note of that as we read on. Verse number 5. And the man Micah had an house, that's number 2, of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days there were no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, boy, that's a summation, basically, of the book of Judges. It was a time when they didn't have a king, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There's a lot of parallels to 2024, even in the greatest nation on the face of the planet. In America, there's a lot of folks just do whatever seems right unto them. But look at verse number 7. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim to the house, there's number 3, of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence camest thou? He said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house, number 4, of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord would do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. Now let's pray. Father, as we bow in your presence, God, again tonight, Lord, thank you for that lovely name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the good songs. Lord, I pray it's prepared our hearts for the preaching of your word. Now, God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I confess I'm nothing. You are everything. Help this feeble preacher now to decrease, that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. God, help us to glean some things now. Help me to articulate the message of the hour. I pray you help this feeble preacher to decrease, that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. Lord, I ask that you would have the preeminence right now. Save that sinner to sneers tell, Lord, know it's your will, that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, I pray you to help the saint of God and the child of God that may be struggling in the area. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you thanks and give you praise. Praise for what you do, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, Judges chapter number 17, these 13 verses that we have read four times, that you notice the first one beginning in verse number 4, the last one ending up in verse number 12. Four times he talks about this house of Micah. Now, this was a house that didn't bring a whole lot of honor, didn't bring a whole lot of glory to the Lord. As we look at this, and I guess if we could preach a message, it'd be a thought behind these closed doors. There's a lot of things that went on that couldn't be seen to the public eye, but we get a glimpse of it here in the Word of God. Now, if you look at this particular house, Micah's home was a place basically of religious and moral confusion. We're going to expound upon that tonight. You know, godly, and a lot of folks may take an exception to what I'm getting ready to say, but you stay with me right here, and I believe it'll make sense. When you think about this, godly homes are the foundation of a just and a happy society. Now, somebody's going to say, well, wait a minute, I thought God was. Well, it all trickles back to Him, but who do you think instituted the home? It was God. But understand, a healthy, a godly home is the foundation of a just and a happy society. You look back even 75 years ago, look at how the backbone of our country and fabric has changed in these 75 years. I mean, there was marriages that stuck together and husbands and wives, and now you got all kinds of chaos and confusion that we won't even get into. But you know, the bottom line is this: we can blame the government, you can blame the IRS, you can blame the White House, you can blame the justice system, you can blame the media and the Supreme Court, etc., etc. But the foundation of the nation is the home that God instituted. And in this particular home, four times in chapter number 17, of course, the cat's already out of the bag. Verse number 6, it says that during that time that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. If it feels good, just do it. That was the mentality of the judges. They, sad to say, parallel 2024. That's a lot of mentality of a lot of people. If it feels good, do it. But I'm telling you, the home is still the fabric of society. That takes for a happy and a just society. Think about this. Psalm 11 and verse number 3 said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What foundation? That foundation of the home. Micah's home gives us an example of what not to be. Now stay with me now. I understand this is a Sunday night crowd, but just get this. I hope it'll help somebody. Micah's home gives us an example of what our home should not be or become. Now, let's just sort of inspect behind the scenes of this particular home. And we know it was a home four times, beginning in verse number 4 and ending up in verse number 12. Four times from verse 4 to verse number 12, it mentions the word the house of Micah. There's a lot of things going on morally there that was wrong. Religiously, it was wrong. And we're going to examine those things tonight. What did this home lack? Well, it lacked several things, probably five or six, maybe seven things I'm going to give you tonight. And we'll go to the house. First of all, we could say this home here of Micah lacked respect. Wouldn't any respect in this particular home? You say, I'm a preacher. Now, how can you be so sure? Notice what the Bible said in verse 1. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. Now, this was not a little kid. This was a man old enough to have a son, Brother Harold, that eventually he caused his son to be a priest in his own house. So this wasn't a kid. This wasn't a teenager. You're going to be introduced not only to a mother, but a grandmother in verse number 2. Why do you say there's no respect? Notice what happened. Look at verse number 2. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursed and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me, I took it. Now, wait a minute. What's she doing in his house? What's he doing in her house? It was not uncommon in this particular time, period of time, where families, I'm talking about moms and dads, would live with their children and so on. Multiple generations would be within that house. It certainly made it easier financially and economically for them to survive and thrive during difficult days. So that wasn't any stretch from the imagination. And here they are. They're all in the same house, but you got the son stealing from his mama. How you know this is a house of that lacked respect? If there's any respect in the house, he wouldn't have stole from his mama. Can I get a witness right there? Think about this. The eighth commandment tells us this in Exodus 20, in verse number 15, thou shalt not steal. The New Testament in Ephesians 4, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Man, it's bad enough to be a thief and to steal from somebody. This guy stole from his mama. Amen. You say, well, what's the point in all that, preacher? Well, behind closed doors, you look at this house, you get an inspection from God's eyes in the Word of God. This is a house where I hope our houses are not like that. I hope they don't become that way because it lacked respect. You got them stealing from one another. Not only that, not only did it lack respect, but can I say this? This home lacked ramifications. You say, now what's the ramification? Well, notice as we read on in verse number 2. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken for thee. So it's been taken. Somewhere along the line, he took it. Now she didn't know, but she pronounced a curse on whoever took that silver. Bible goes on to say, about which thou cursed and spakest of also in mine ears. Behold, the silver is with me. I took it. So he confessed. It's a lack of respect, because if he had respect for his mama, he'd have never stole that thing and broken the eighth commandment in so doing. But this home lacked respect, but it also lacked ramifications, because notice what she said in the last part of verse number 2. And his mother said, blessed be thou the Lord, my son. No ramification. You say, what's that mean, preacher? There was no discipline. Right. Yeah, man. Stay with me now. What are we preaching on, preacher? We're talking about this is a home that we don't want to have, a home that we don't want to become, because here is a man that just has confessed to his mama, and evidently she had some age on him. But instead of getting on to him and showing some discipline, having some ramifications, there was none. She said, blessed be thou of the Lord, O my son. And that sort of lets me know that's probably what happened when he was a child. You know what led to him probably stealing from his mama? He never had any instruction, never had any discipline growing up. Amen. Oh, the son just confessed to stealing the silver, yet his mama blesses him. Absolutely no consequences for doing wrong. No correction. And no discipline. By the way, that's what sort of what they want to do in our justice system right now. You get caught and the policemen are sitting ducks. And we got several in our church, man, in our duty to pray for. But think about, they put their life on the line every day. Of people that really have no respect for authority whatsoever. That didn't happen overnight. What happened, preacher? It come from the fabric of the country and the backbone of a nation, that home being torn apart and living in a single environment, and they're coming up with absolutely no respect and no ramifications whatsoever. They did something wrong. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. No ramifications at all. You know, God gave a solution for all that. You better start early. Proverbs 22:15 said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Something we don't preach on a lot about discipline. Listen, I don't believe in hurting a child, but that God put a cushion on the backside. Amen. Sure did. That's where that hand of correction meets a seed of knowledge. Amen. You say, well, we just don't believe in speaking and spanking our kids. Hey, listen, you don't have to tell us. We know. Amen. Proverbs 23 and verse number 13 said, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, what's he talking about there? Did you know that parents can be partially responsible? By withholding discipline, you can be partially responsible for them dying and going to hell. Now, don't make no mistake what I'm saying here. If they go to hell, they'll reject Jesus Christ in and of themselves. But if they don't have discipline early on, they'll never respect authority. They'll never respect a teacher. They'll never respect the house of God. They'll never respect the man of God. They'll never respect the policeman and those that are in authority. They'll never respect their supervisor or their boss or their employer if they don't get it early. This is a house, the house of Micah, that we don't want to become, don't want to be like. It lacked respect. You got the son stealing from the mother. And we know it was a lack of ramification. Instead of her getting on, blessed be thou the Lord. Oh, my son. There was no discipline. You know, discipline educates about consequences and authority. Apparently, Micah was a grown man. As we look at this, we can assume he never had any discipline in his early years that got him to this point, because his mama blessed him for stealing. That lets us know there was no respect. There was no ramifications. And we also know that this home lacked righteousness, right living. You say, hey, you know, look at verse number 3. The Bible said, and when he had restored the 1,100 shekels that he had stolen of silver to his mother said, now watch this, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from mine hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, God never required his people to make a graven image or a molten image. I mean, this was a house that lacked respect, lacked ramifications, no consequences, no discipline, and it lacked righteousness. In verse number 6, it says a great summation of the book of Judges, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But notice as we read on, it lacked righteousness. We read on in verse number 3, now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Verse 4, yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. Now verse 5 says it all. And the man Micah had a house of gods. Not God, but gods. Singular. And little g. That means there were multiple little g gods in this house. And they made an ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Micah's mama basically confesses that the silver was for a graven image. What was those 1,100 shekels for? She was saving it up to make a golden image and to make a graven image for the Lord, something that God had never even required. So we know this home lacked respect, it lacked ramifications, and it lacked righteousness. Listen, the Bible said in Exodus 20, verse number 4, the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. It's hard to misinterpret that, ain't it? Yet we find that going on right here. You say, well, now, what is the graven image? That graven image was something made out of wood or made out of stone. What is this molten image? That was something that was brought to high temperature and poured in some kind of mold, and then it was made, and that's what the molten image was. And notice verse 4 said, they were in the what? In the house of Micah. Now, God had a central place of worship. At this particular time, the book of Judges, it wasn't in Bethlehem, it wasn't in Jerusalem, it wasn't in Samaria. It was in a place called Shiloh. That's where they were supposed to meet. That's where they were to worship God. And yet they had these house full of little g gods set up in his house. Now, you think about the idols. That's what was going on. They had idol worship. And remember what the definition of what idol is. An idol is anything that takes the place of God in your life. A lot of people say, oh, I wouldn't ever have any idols in my house. Probably every one of us got some. Amen. You think it takes the place of God in your life? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 13 said, take heed to thyself that thou offer not burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. But verse number 5 said he had a house of gods, gods meaning plural and many. Now, it says there in verse 5, it talks about this ephod. Now, oftentimes you'll find the ephod with the priest. Now, this ephod was a garment. Now, what was that teraphim? That teraphim was a graven image. It was something that had been made, something that had been manufactured. And that goes all, there's a lot of history in the Old Testament about that particular teraphim. Think about and also the ephod. Think about in Gideon's day. Gideon got in trouble after he had had that great victory in Judges chapter 8 and verse 27. The Bible said, and Gideon made an ephod thereof. He made this garment that the high priest would have. But the Bible said Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even in Orpah, and all Israel went thither a whoring after it. You see, they were going after, they were worshiping that garment, that thing that the high priest had, more so than worshiping God that created them and created it. And the Bible lets us know that Israel went a whoring after that particular ephod, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. That's what it said in Judges 8, 27. What about these teraphim that it talks about there in verse number 5? You remember Jacob? You remember Jacob and Rachel had been there and he'd been there a long time at Laban's house. But when Jacob left, understand that Rachel had stole, Brother Harold, some things from her father's. You remember those little images that they had? What is a teraphim? Teraphim is the Hebrew of a graven image. Now, in Genesis 31, verse number 19, it's referred to as an image. Here in Judges 17, it's referred to as teraphim. What's the difference? It's the same thing. It's a graven image, and that's what they had. In Genesis 31, verse number 19, and Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. Well, guess what? It'd be like a little figurine, these things that they worshipped, and it would have been in his house. Why? Because it's a house not of God, but a house of little g gods, plural. They were multiple things. He had an ephod, according to the word of God, a garment piece that they worshipped. He had these little trinkets set up everywhere, little voodoo dolls or whatever it was, man, called teraphims that he's worshiping. I tell you, man, this was a house that lacked respect, house that lacked ramification, because evidently old Micah hadn't ever had any discipline growing up. He's stealing from his mama. Then when he gets caught, instead of getting in trouble and getting disciplined, he's blessed by his mother. Lacked righteousness because she had this money, these shekels of silver, in order to build to make a graven image and a golden and a molten image for the Lord, which God never required. So it lets us know that they lacked righteousness. But notice, it gets even worse at the end of verse number 5. And the Bible said he even consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Well, this was an absolute defiance of what God had said in his word. Not just anybody could be a priest, but old Michael wanted to make sure he got everybody covered. Again, he wasn't worried about going up to Shiloh where he was supposed to go worship. He said, man, I'll just set up something right here. I'll consecrate one of my sons. So that's why I don't believe he's a young man. I don't believe he was a teenager. He had a young man old enough to be a priest, and his mother was still living at home with him as well. And he puts him in the priestly office. Well, listen, Numbers 3 and verse number 10. Numbers chapter 3 and verse 10. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. What's he talking about? That stranger that comes nigh under the priest's office, doesn't come through that line of Aaron, shall be put to death. It didn't matter to Micah. Micah put him, set him up in his house. Man, this place, this home, four times we find verse number 4 to verse number 12, it lacked respect. Number one, because he's stealing. Lacked ramifications because when he got caught, wasn't in discipline. Lacked righteousness because they're making these golden images, these molten things. And not only that, This particular house lacks some restrictions. Look at verse 6 again. And in those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which is right in his own eyes. This home, as the other homes in Israel during this time, they lacked restrictions. Those barriers, those safeguards that God sets up, they had been removed. Those ancient landmarks had been gone. There wasn't any king. There was no leadership. I said on Wednesday night, and this can be said, truth, everything rises and falls on truth, but everything also rises and falls on leadership. If you ain't got truth, you got a mess. If you ain't got leadership, you got a mess. Amen. Show me a country that ain't got leadership, man, you got a mess. Show me a company that don't have leadership, and you got a mess. Show me a church that don't have leadership, and you got a mess. Amen. Everything rises and falls on that truth, and it rises and falls on leadership. You better mark that down. Well, they lacked restrictions during this day. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no guardrails to keep them on the right path. I don't know if any of you went down toward Rinalda lately, but man, you cross that new Donahoe Bridge, son, you better slow down. I'm just going to tell you, it'll jar your head when you hit that. I don't know. It's about like hitting something like that. Just boom. Ain't no slant on it at all. When they just patched this thing this week. But you know, you go across that bridge, it ain't flat. They got them rails, thank goodness, on the side. Or if you were to hit it, I guess it'd keep you from going in the water. But you got that guard rail. But off of that, I don't know how far it is. They said some, well, even our sheriff, Brother Nick, he confirmed that some yahoo was jumping off the bridge into the water. I think he's going back for round two, and they arrested him back in the summer of last year. I don't know how far that is, but you know what? You got those barriers on each side that restricts you, that keeps you on that straight path. Well, listen, all the barriers have been taken down. There wasn't no restrictions in this house. Yeah, man, he had a house of not God, but gods, little g gods. Not only did it lack respect, not only did it lack ramifications and lack righteousness and lack restrictions, it also lacked rule. Look in verse number 7. Now get this. There was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. This house had no spiritual leadership whatsoever. Neither did the nation of Israel at this particular time. Now, evidently, according to the Word of God, Jonathan, here this Levite, has been living in Bethlehem, Judah. Well, he was out of the will of God, because that wasn't where the priests were supposed to dwell. According to the Bible, you go back and you look, according to Joshua 21 and Numbers 35, look it up. You won't see Bethlehem, Judah on there anywhere. Bethlehem, Judah was not one of the cities assigned to the priest or the Levites. This guy was out of place and looking for a place. And you know what? Somebody offered him enough money that he found that place. Amen. Notice as you read on, we're going to read this over here in just a second. Look in verse number 9. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? He said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. So he's looking. We could put this to modern day 2024. Here's a preacher, Brother Harold, that's looking for a church. He's out of place, but he's looking for a place. Well, what happens? He finds him a place. Not a place where God led him to, but watch this in verse number 10. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me. Be unto me a father and a priest. And watch this, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in. Brother Brandon, here's a man looking for a place. He's out of place. He's looking for a place, but he found a place. He said, Listen, Micah said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pay you. I'll give you a new suit of apparel. I'll put your best suit and tie on of that day. Man, I'll give you victuals, anything you need. I'll supply that just to stay in my house. You know what he was? He wasn't nothing more than a puppet. Amen. Nothing more than a puppet. He didn't want a priest. He wanted somebody he could pay that could tell him what he wanted to hear. Don't think that still don't go on either, man. Amen. That's why I got a lot of preachers today. They got a backbone like a spaghetti noodle. Amen. God help me there. Listen, I love people and I love faith. I love Mount Sinai. I love friendship. But God help me to never water down a message, to ever pull out the sugar stick to tickle somebody's ears, man. Listen, I love people. God called me to preach the Word of God. A lot of folks say, man, you sure did hurt my feet. I wasn't aiming for your feet, man. God was aiming for your heart. But here was a hireling looking for a place. He was an opportunistic fella. This man was nothing more than a hired hand. You know what Jesus said about that in John 10 and verse number 12? But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd whose own sheep are not, on the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep, the hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. This home lacked rule. He's got a hired hand. Put a new suit on him. Give him plenty to eat. Put some money in his pocket. But man, he ain't going to tell him nothing that God said. He's out of place. This is not the place of refuge where the priests are supposed to be here. And where'd all this take place? In the house of Micah. But not only, this last point I'm going to give him, we're done. This house lacked respect because they're stealing. He's stealing from his mama in this house. Lacked ramifications. He gets caught. He did tell her, I did it. You know what? He wasn't afraid of God. He was afraid of the curse that his mama placed on whoever stole the money. You look it up, that's what it was. He was afraid of that. He wasn't afraid of God. But he was afraid of the curse that she had said. He said, oh, I did it. She said, oh, bless thou of the Lord, my son. There's no ramification, no discipline whatsoever. You know, Vance Havner said this one time. He said, I don't know why I'm thinking about this. Brother Harold Vance Havner, the old mountain preacher, said this. He said, I don't know why everybody gets so upset about them taking Bibles out of school. He said, because at some point in their life, they'll get a free Bible when they end up in prison. Now, Vance Havner said that. That was a long time ago when he said that. But you know what? You think about it. That discipline, that instruction, you better start it early or it'll affect them later on in life. That's the same principle right here. No respect. No ramifications, no righteousness whatsoever. I mean, they got an ephod. They got a teraphim. They got this house of God's. All these molten images and graven images in the house of Micah. But then there was no restrictions. Every man did that which was in his own on site, whatever he felt like doing, felt good, do it. That's what was going on, according to verse number 6. There's no rule. They got a hireling put in there just to tickle their ears, tell you go on, just live as you please, don't worry about it whatsoever. There was no rule whatsoever. But there was no reality in this house either. Look with me in verse number 11. As we read on, the Bible said, and the Levite was content to dwell with a man. The young man was unto him as one of his sons, and Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. He said, well, you know, I got all these teraphims in here, got all these molten images in here, got all this other stuff, all these other little gods, the ephod, everything. But now that I got a Levite of a priest, boy, now I know, boy, God's going to look after me. Man, this house lacked reality. Lacked reality. He surveyed his house. He said, man, I'm doing good. I'm set up. I got a priest in my own house. Not even realize he's in violation of what God has said. Listen, you cannot violate God's word nor God's instructions and expect a blessing. Amen. Sometimes God, and he does it all the time, he blesses us in spite of our shortcomings. Been open to fights of what God has said. They should have been worshiping at Shiloh. And here this priest is set up in the house. Micah thought, man, I've got everything there is, but he's missing the main thing. Again, you cannot bypass God's word or his instruction. This man that had a house of gods, he had a house of gods, but he lacked the true and the living God. It was basically real, real telling of this particular time in Israel's history. Sister Savannah's coming. I'd say this, when it comes back to the home, this is a home that I hope we would never become or don't want to be like. A home that had no respect, no ramifications, no rights, no restrictions, lacked rule and lacked reality. But I do believe this, if every family made Jesus Christ the head, the absolute head, the have the preeminence in the home, you'd see an instant change in our country. Instant change. Politicians say we're going to do surveys. All right, we need to take the guns out. We need to take the ammo. If we put more money into it, politicians say, hey, if we can just get more money into it, it'll change. That's one of the biggest lies ever been told. That ain't going to change nobody. Sure, there's programs and different things that may help and assist. Oh, I'll tell you what will make all the difference in the world is the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting in that individual's life, getting in the husband's life, getting in the wife's life. That's what will make a difference in the home. But when Christ is front and center, that will absolutely change the society. It'll change the culture. It'll change the scenery, man, when he's on the throne of the home. We can say that certainly wouldn't happen in the house of Micah. But you know, I got to thinking about this. Those little teraphims when Jacob and Rachel left. The Bible said a little bit later on, Brother Harold, that she took those little teraphims out of the camel's furniture. So she had carried those things. She sat. Must not have been real, real big. She sat on those little images, Brother Brandon. Laban come in and couldn't find it. And she wouldn't get up. And those little bitty images that she carried around, every image that Micah had in his house, you could carry around. And you know what an idol is? Anything that takes the place of God, you might be able to carry that thing around, but they can't carry you. I'm glad we serve a God in heaven that we don't have to worry about carrying him around. He carries us around. Hey, when you yoke up by faith to the Lord Jesus, and boy, what a difference Jesus will make, not only in your personal life, but also in your home. Tell you what, young folks that ain't got married yet, some that just have got married, you know what will make all the difference in the world? You put Christ front and center in the home. It'll change not only your home, it'll change your community, it'll change the world. It's still working today. But this is a house, the house of Micah. We look behind the scenes, man, lacked a lot of things. This is a house you and I shouldn't want to become or be like as we stand all over the house. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, again for the opportunity, privilege, Lord, to preach your word. God, I pray that we've learned some principles, some lessons, get some understanding from Judges 17 over the life of Micah and his house. Four times, Lord, you talk about his house, that house full of gods. Behind the scene may look good on the outside, may look like a religious man. He's far distance from you. God, I pray that you'd help us put Christ first in everything that we do. God, help us to realize that we're not trying to carry you. Lord, you carry us. Lord, I give you thanks for that. I pray that you'd move during this invitation time. Save the lost, help the saints of God, and we'll give you thanks for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Even heads are bowed and eyes are closed for a few moments. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month, we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day."
Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked Him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.